If you're looking for a spot that's got everything you need to roll, puff, or relax, pull up to Smokers Castles Outlet. From premium cigars, vapes, kratom, all your smoking essentials, they got it fresh, affordable, and all in one place. So skip the runaround. Smokers Castle Outlet is your go-to smoke shop. Big selection, better prices, and good vibes. Located at 4431 Dixie Highway, Louisville, Kentucky. Located next to Cricket Wireless. 4431 Dixie Highway, Louisville, Kentucky. I think it's just the temperament of the coach, you know what I mean?
It's the temperament of the world. I don't necessarily say the culture, because that's nothing's culture about killing each other, bro. Like, we can't blame that on culture, because that's not where we come from. You feel me? That's what America wants us to think. You know what I mean? That's what they want us to think. You feel me? We don't come from that. We don't come from hurting each other, bro, and killing each other and being jealous and being envious and not even worried about not respecting ourselves enough to respect anybody else. That's not where we come from, bro. So it's not a part of the culture, bro, but it's like just stamped into motherfuckers' heads that that shit's okay. To me, the answer, bro, would just be love, bro. As crazy as that sounds and as hard as that seems, like, if everybody changed the way they think and just spread love instead of hate, that shit would stop. Another confirmed multimedia
production. Subscribe now.
This is the Big and Lazy Podcast. Give us something good to eat. Give us something good to watch.
This is the Big and Lazy Podcast. I'm Big. I'm B-Fans. I'm back with a special guest, DJ Cam. Welcome to the set, man.
What up, man? How you doing, bro?
How's it going?
Pretty good. How about you?
Yeah, I can't complain, man. Just another day, another dollar.
For sure, for sure.
So, what got you into DJing in the first place? And when did you know you really could make a career out of it?
Well, we used to work with Playersville when DJ Lil Carl was doing team parties.
Yeah.
I was one of the promoters. So, we would, of course, promote the party all week throughout different little school events and stuff. And, and party day, we would go set up and shit. Just doing that over the last couple of years of high school kind of opened the door for me. You know, we would set up before the events, have time to get on the turntables and mess around, and it just kind of became a thing from there. And then when I realized that I could make a career out of it, was then too, you know what I mean? Just seeing all the money, how lucrative it was as far as throwing parties, just kind of opened my eyes to what, you know, could possibly happen.
Mm-hmm. So what were some of your influences growing like? So would you say DJ Carl was like a mentor to you?
Yeah, for sure. Back then, just like I said, we would set up the parties. We would watch him rock out. I have to say DJ Drama, of course. I came up in the Gangsta Grills era. Don Cannon, of course. Jazzy Jeff. Just, you know, a lot of different guys. DJ Z Nice here more recently. Once everything switched over to, because it was just, when we was working with Carl, it was you had to have the CDs. Put the CDs and the actual CDs and the CD players, the Numarks or whatever you had, and work it from there. But since everything switched over to Serato's and the laptops,
right?
I reached out to Z Nice to kind of show me what to do as far as with the laptop and stuff. He helped me and been helping me ever since.
So, like you mentioned, like the technology changed. Like, which one did you like more? Was it more like the hands-on with the physical media? Or was it
like, I mean, it's still the same. Really, just you don't got to take as much stuff with you because all your music's on the laptop. And you can actually see, instead of just hearing the music, you can see the music.
Yeah.
So it got the sound waves on the laptop to go up and down. You can see how fast the sound is. I mean, how fast the record is. Just, I would say, definitely now. I like it now. You know, you don't got to carry your CDs and shit around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just easier.
Right. So.
It's on my shoulder.
Yeah, it does. It's kind of awkward. But yeah, man, DJ Khaled, Khaled and that Don Cannon, I don't think it's a more classic ad lib. Like, that Gangsta Girl series was a real, you know, a real stage, man. Here comes the cameraman. Shout out to B. Haywood, man.
Yeah, motherfuckers on my shoulder, yeah, bro.
Shout out to B. Haywood, man. I've confirmed multimedia, a good guy.
Yeah. Brandon always been.
Okay, my fault. I ain't trying to. You know,
Brandon always
miss nothing.
A quiet guy, man.
He is, man.
I'm surprised he does this type of shit for real. That nigga's really? Quiet, man. That nigga used to be quiet as hell in school. Where we meet at middle school or high school, bro? Middle school? Where we meet at middle school or high school? High. You went to Yingo TJ? Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, middle school, yeah.
You should talk to the mic, man. The channel.
So, yeah, man. I've been knowing bro since probably sixth grade.
Yeah, really? Sixth grade, yeah.
Yeah, so it was about, shit, over 20 years ago.
Yeah, Roger, too.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's amazing, man.
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing. He's a good guy.
Must have heard Cuz talk.
Nah, he's been lying.
I swear, bro, I swear.
That's what's up, so, man. Quiet behind the scenes, man. He is the man behind the scenes. I've been knowing him for about 2 years, man. He's a good guy, man. Solid stand-up. So being from Louisville, how has Louisville shaped your sound, and what type of events that you like to, what's your favorite type of events to DJ?
How has Louisville shaped my sound? That's a good question for real. I mean, growing up, you know, we had a few guys that we could look up to as far as music.
Uh-huh.
You know, like Static and shit. I just look really Static, you know what I mean, as far as making it huge. And we had Nappy Roots. So I would say it motivated me. You know what I mean? To try to push artists in the city forward. So I would definitely say, you know, it just was motivation. You know, you see all these other cities, you know, they come together, they like big on unity, big on working together. So maybe in that way. And then you said, what type of events do I like to do?
Yes. What's your favorite type of events?
I more so like to do private events just because it's a little more, you can bond with the people a little more, you know what I mean?
Right. More intimate, like.
Yeah, more intimate settings where, you know, you getting, they coming up to you, want to play, and
yeah,
all that type of stuff. So, like, weddings, birthday parties.
He said the free food, man. He said that's the.
You know what I mean? It's different when they feed you, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, I just like more intimate events, really. The money's better most of the time. You know, it's a little bit more work, but the money's better most of the time with, you know, those private events. And I feel like that's just kind of where I was able to build my bricks to start the foundation of what I'm doing.
Okay, that's amazing. So, like, what is your best event you ever had? Like, what's the, it might have been, you know, the most, it was that night, certain night. Take us back to that night. Like, it was your, everything just fell in place.
Well, it actually just happened, bro, October 3rd. So I lost my mother in February, and her birthday was October the 3rd. So, like I was saying, when I first started DJing, it was me, my buddy Darrell, and ATL, DJ Fresh.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's being Robert Roots, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. So we used to do the parties on Robert Roots. We literally been all around the city, bro, doing parties for the last 20 years, bro. So I reached out to him to congratulate him on this tour that he's about to do. He got an Australian tour coming up. And
Australian tour?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So I reached out to him to congratulate him on it. And I'm like, bro, I'm going to be off for Mama's birthday. I see y'all in Atlanta because he was doing the Chris Brown tour.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I see y'all in Atlanta. I might come down and go to the show. And he's like, yeah, come to the show because you're going to DJ it. So.
Just like that. Just laid it on you like.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess it's my brother.
Yeah, I got you.
Saying so. Like, DJing Chris Brown, Breezy Bowl with 60,000 people on my mother's birthday was definitely a moment that I'll never forget. You know what I'm saying? Not only the fact that it was Breezy Bowl, but also just the fact that it was her birthday and I got to honor her in that way. You know
That's
what I'm saying?
Amazing.
Her first birthday in heaven, bro. It was like time was standing still, bro.
That's amazing.
It was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful event.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was you nervous? Or was that the biggest crowd you didn't perform?
60,000, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Was I nervous? Going into it, I thought I would be. But like I said, bro, the moment was just so, it was just so written out, bro. And like, to know my mother, like if you knew my mother, you knew like how spiritual she was and just like how, you know, like she always had a plan, you know what I mean? And like my mama was on hospice care for 4 weeks.
Yes.
So she called all my closest friends in and like all her closest family and gave us literally jobs that she wants us to do. Like, y'all keep taking care of y'all kids, y'all keep y'all businesses going, y'all keep doing this, keep doing that. Like, she was real intentional with all her words always, you know what I'm saying? So for her to bless me like that on her birthday was just like another sign of just her being her and letting her know, like, I'm still with you.
Uh-huh.
Don't grieve. I mean, grieve, but here goes Chris Brown show. It's the biggest show of your career.
That's amazing right there. Did you meet him?
I didn't meet Chris Brown.
Right.
Nah, but met Usher, Lucci, Jermaine Dupri, Jhené Aiko.
Okay.
Yeah,
he's just putting on a hell of a show. I've been keeping tough with this tour, man. He's just putting on a hell of a show. I gotta go see him in person, man.
It was one of the best tours of the summer, bro. But I've seen Chris Brown a few times,
uh-huh.
and just seeing like the production side of it, like that was the best show that I ever witnessed, bro. And like I said, to be a part of it, and then for him to bring Usher out surprisingly and Glorilla out, like it was definitely a major day.
So after you left there, did you feel inspired? Like, did you feel like I got to turn my hustle up more?
Yeah, for sure, for mm-hmm. sure, because I want to get back there. You know what I'm saying? That was a goal to get there, but it's a goal to also get back and stay. You know what I mean? Like, to be on that level, to realize, you know, that that's where I'm supposed to be. Because once I got up there, it was kind of like all the nerves went away because it's like, shit, this is where I'm supposed to be.
I'm
home. You know what I'm saying? So to have that feeling is definitely a feeling that I'm working towards. And it's just motivated me to get my name more buzzing outside of the city. So I've been doing a little bit more content as far as on my Instagram and all of my social media platforms, just trying to keep the people's ears and eyes going, you know what I'm saying?
Right. What content are you doing? Is it like?
Just like mixes and mashups,
uh-huh.
you know what I'm saying? And really that's it, just whatever's like going on. Like I just did a D'Angelo mix, you know, rest mm-hmm. in peace, D'Angelo.
R.I.P.
He just passed away, so I did a D'Angelo mix on there, and then they had the verses just yesterday. A few days before, I did like a Cash Money No Limit mix,
mm-hmm.
just with whatever's going on, you know, just trying to, you know, keep the people's ear.
Mm-hmm. So how did you feel about that, the verses?
Man, it was all right, man. It was kind of boring to me.
Uh-huh.
I'm a diehard Lil Wayne fan, though, so I was kind of disappointed that he wasn't there, but I understand why he wasn't. But it was too short, you know what I mean? And the crowd wasn't really in tune like that. I mean, Versus was cool during COVID.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a COVID thing,
yeah. Yeah, some things could be left where they are, and I feel like Versus might be one of those. Because, I mean, I was excited.
Yeah.
I was real excited for it, you know what I'm saying? And it was a lot going on. Like, people did parties and, you know, but it was just like once the Versus was there, it was like the hype was bigger than the actual
I agree with that.
Production, you know what I'm saying? It should have been in New Orleans. Just,
I agree with that. Yeah, some things have been different.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, it was a celebration, you know, celebration for hip-hop. But I just feel like it could have went a little harder.
I think Cash Money got the better catalog, but No Limit got the camaraderie. They got togetherness. More people respect their leader. Like, I just think they're a stronger team, you know. So, I don't know.
I feel like most of No Limit's fan base, it's not really on Instagram and not really tapped into what Versus really probably is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They came up around the same time, but Cash Money has a way younger fan base than No Limit does. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. It was dope, I guess, for the culture.
Yeah. And Cash Money got that second win with Drake and Nicki. Like, their run was, you know what I mean?
Their run was longer.
Yeah, it was longer.
Yeah, it was longer.
So, DJs are like mood managers. So, how do you read the crowd, like, and what, you know, and what song to drop next?
Personally, I like playing for the ladies, just because I feel like if they having fun, then everybody will have fun. So, I mean, it's easy to change the mood, but most of the time when you got the ladies moving, mm-hmm. then you pretty much, in my opinion, the club is going to be good or the party or whatever. So I just really look at top of people's heads. When I drop something, can I see somebody moving over here? Even if I'm not looking that way, do I see motion? Look for motion on the dance floor, really.
Right. So has it ever been a time that you, like, you know, some comedians go up and bomb. Has it ever been a time, like it wasn't your night, you know, it was off, like?
Yeah, I have those all the time to me. Like, I just, like, man, I should have played this, or I didn't play this at the right time, or I didn't drop, I was off a beat. But I feel like, you know, just like any artist, I'm my biggest critic. You know what I'm saying? So it might be something that I'm thinking of that I thought could have been better, but somebody else might have loved it. You know what I mean? So I have those all the time where it's like, man, I could have went way harder. Or I should, I forgot to play this. I should have mixed that. But try not to get too hard. I'm too hard down on myself.
So going into, is it like, how do you know, like, is it like a preset list, or is it like, do you got like preset songs you want to do, or is it like off the dome, like, you know?
So I got a list, like I got like a 2000s club, 2010s club, right now club, R&B 2010, R&B 90s, R&B 80s. So I got everything in a list, but it's just catching a vibe and knowing what list to go to and what songs to play at a certain time. So it's kind of like in order, you know what I mean? And once you do it so much, you kind of just remember what works, what didn't work. Like, you know, like I said, I do a lot of social media stuff now. So with social media and then being able to put music on songs and stories and stuff, like, it helps a lot as far as like the new music. So I'll go and I'll stroll through TikTok or Instagram, and okay, everybody's posting this song, so I need to put that in. I need to make sure that's on the new list. Like, and I like to play like newer music first, like newer music early, like just when the club's just warming up. You know what I mean? And then kind of mix like some of the stuff that we know is gone.
The classic
vibe, yeah. Without getting too deep into the classic bag, because you still want to sound relevant, you know, you still want to sound new and relevant, you know what I mean? But once you got the crowd, you can pretty much take them anywhere. Once they feel like, oh, he's good, you can play anything. And you already got the respect.
If you're looking for a spot that's got everything you need to roll, puff, or relax, pull up to Smokers Castles Outlet. From premium cigars, vapes, Kratom, all your smoking essentials, they got it fresh, affordable, and all in one place. So skip the runaround. Smokers Castle Outlet is your go-to smoke shop. Big selection, better prices, and good vibes. Located at 4431 Dixie Highway, Louisville, Kentucky. Located next to Cricket Wireless. 4431 Dixie Highway, Louisville, Kentucky. What part did you play in the Allegiance?
So as of right now, I'm the vice president of the Allegiance. I first started just as a regular member, then I became the music director. So I would send out all the music, like whatever new music we got, whatever music we got from local artists, I would send it out to all the DJs. And about 2 years ago, I became the vice president. So it's just, you know, meeting with the board and stuff and trying to figure out ways to keep the momentum going and keep the brand fresh and new, and just doing what we got to do to help ourselves and also the music community around here.
That's amazing. Yeah. Did you have any hand in the awards?
Yeah. So we would meet and put the award show together, see what artists we wanted to do, how many categories we wanted, if we wanted to split the female artists and female DJs with the, you know, have the, we want them to have their own, like, category. It was a lot going. It was a lot to do really with the awards, and it was a benefit as far as for the region, like everybody would be excited for it, you know, something to look forward to, something to work towards as well. But it wasn't really a win on our end. Like, we never made no money off of it, or
that's what DJ Slick said.
Yeah, like it wasn't, it was really just something for the people, you know. And then it kind of got weird when people wouldn't win and they would start bashing, you know, Slick or calling Slick, calling EB, reaching out to me, like, and it's like, you know, we want you to be happy about even being nominated. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a whole state thing. Like, people have to, people got to get on there and nominate you. Like, we're not just putting people that we know on the list. Like, people got to get on there and nominate you. People got to get on there and vote. So it was really more of a thing to kind of inspire everybody. And, I mean, I think we did a good job at that. You know what I'm saying?
No lie. I was, my first year nominated for the podcast, man, I wanted to win it, bro. Like, I wanted to, and that was my motivation. I ain't say motivation, but that was one of the motivation factors. I wanted to come back for that award. Like,
yeah, and that's what the whole purpose of it was, man. Just to give, you know, people a platform. You know what I mean? And everybody likes acknowledgement.
Real talk.
I mean, just to acknowledge people for their hard work, you know, network. You know what I mean? Just, it was supposed to be a networking thing. You know what I mean? And
right.
I think a lot of people met a lot of different folk, you know, from different counties and different areas of Kentucky. So I feel like we did our job with that.
Because I would love, you know what I mean? Like, it's so many talented people in one area, you know.
Yeah.
You did a good job on it. But I think people just want to be negative sometimes.
Because
it was people that's no longer part of this podcast. They came when we didn't win it. They came. I'm like, damn, bro, you third
party
bashing, huh?
I remember that.
Yeah, I'm like, bro, these awards are fixed. I'm like, what? You ain't got nothing to do with it, bro. Like, what are you speaking on, you know?
I remember that.
Yeah, but it's neither here nor there. So are they coming back?
I don't know. That's really like a decision that Slick would have to make.
Uh-huh.
Because he was literally like the main one to put it together.
He was.
You know what I mean? Like, he would take out of his own pocket to make sure that stuff would go right. You know what I mean? So that would be a decision that he would have to make. And I just don't think, you know, right now he's just not in that space, I don't think. You know what I mean?
Right.
Maybe one day.
He got a Legend Award. Did you play a hand in that? He said he didn't know nothing about it. Like,
yeah, for sure. We definitely wanted to make sure that we honor Slick because he does so much for Kentucky as far as, like, the music scene and been doing it for a long time. Like, this ain't nothing new to just
start
with the award show. Like, Slick has really been boots on the ground, putting in work for the last 20 years strong.
Yes.
So he definitely needed his acknowledgement. And he wasn't going to give it to himself.
So. Right. That'll be kind of, you know, getting yourself a word, be kind of some poop.
Yeah, but that was his brand.
Yeah.
He had control over, you know, who he wanted to acknowledge. So we had to make sure that we acknowledged Slick for sure.
That's amazing. So what is one of the toughest parts about being a DJ that people might not see from being on the outside?
There's a few things. Just depending on what type of gigs you do, the physical labor, you know what I mean? If you got like most of those private events, a lot of times they come with you having to bring your own equipment, own sound, speakers, lights. So just the physical work that comes with like those type of events. And then like, just learning how to kind of be like a servant almost, you know what I mean? Like a people person.
Because,
mm-hmm. I mean, I'm friendly, you know, like I'm a people person. Like I can have a conversation with anybody. But a lot of times I just like being alone, you know what I mean?
Right.
And as far as being a DJ, you can't really do that. You know, like you see people out, DJ, what's up, Cam? And it's just like, what's up, bro? I mean, it's good to see you, but I might not be as excited to see you as I am. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's kind of hard to balance that. You know what I mean?
Private life and, you know, being
And I'm not like a big, huge entertainer or nothing. You know what I mean? But it's a small town, bro. And I've been doing this for a long time. So I come across people whose weddings I've done years ago. And they like, man, you killed. Man, you did my whoop-de-whoop wedding. And I'm just like, oh, for real? Okay, that's what's up.
Yeah.
Or like the other day, like a lady, I was at an event and a lady came and requested a song from me. And like, she's all on my back, rubbing my back, all in my ear. Can you play this? And just, you know, she ain't mean no harm, but it's like you spit all on my neck.
Right. Get the
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So just dealing with people, you know, and I guess that comes with any type of customer service type of work. But a lot of times people just don't understand, like we still servants of the people.
Right.
At the end of the day. So sometimes that can just be annoying sometimes.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Because I work at the casino and like, you remember me? I'm like, bro, like, no, bro. Like, it's just, you see so many faces and people. Like,
no disrespect. It's just hard to keep track of everybody.
And it's all love, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's all love. Like, and I appreciate the love that people give me, so I don't want to sound like I don't want it, but sometimes, you know, it's just hard to balance, you know? Right. Sometimes I don't feel like being around everybody in the club, or I might not feel like being the energy of the party.
Right.
I'm booked to be the energy of the party, so that's what we got to do.
Right. And then all party in lights. It's like, you know, this is my job. So you listen to all type of music. So what's in your deck right now? What are you listening to on your way over here?
What's in my deck right now? One Take Timmy, one Zarelli. I've been listening to that for like the last 6-7 weeks since he sent it to me.
It ain't out yet?
Yeah, it came out like 2 weeks ago.
Okay, got you.
That's really all I've been listening to. I've been listening to that Bryson.
Is it the whole tape?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to check it out. One Zarelli. The Bryson album. What's it? Solace and Vices, I believe is what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
I've been listening to that real heavy. What else have I been listening to? Really, that's it, man. I've been listening to that One Take for the last...
He's cold. Like
I said, 6 weeks. 6 or 7 weeks.
I think bye for bye. Ain't nobody messing with him.
Nah, not on the globe, man. Not on the...
You said globe. I was going to say locally.
Nah, he's way past the local level, bro. As far as being that good.
Uh-huh.
I don't think there's no better rapper in the world right now than One Take.
In the world? Man, give him a stamp, man. Because he got bars. I'm telling you, like, but I wouldn't say locally, but I wouldn't say globally, but yeah, man, he's
that man. Have you had any
work together?
Yeah, I'm actually One Take's tour DJ. So we haven't done anything outside of the city yet. We just been doing a lot of local shows for like the last, I think it's been 3 years. So we actually linked up. Well, I've been knowing One Take. We grew up around each other and stuff, but we never really linked on no music stuff until he won. I was presenting an award at the award show about 2 or 3 years ago, and he won for Hip-Hop Artist of the Year. And when I introduced him the same way I just did, the best rapper in the world.
And, really?
Yeah. And then from then, he was just like, bro, I want you to DJ. He's like, I'm having my first show. I want you to DJ it for me. So I'm like, shit, cool. And we just been locked in ever since. So, and I say that, bro, because I really do feel like that nigga's the best rapper that I've ever heard. Like I said, I'm a Lil Wayne fan. And
that's a tough stamp right there. That's a tough.
One Take is Wayne 0.2, you feel me?
Yeah.
2.0.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? So shout out to One Take. Shout out to the whole family, man. Shout out to Pig, Sox, the whole Click Clan family.
Man, shout out to them. If you could headline a headline or collaborate with any artist, local or major, who would it be and why? cue the Jeopardy music.
If I could headline with any artist, local or major, I mean, I've actually kind of already done it. Bryson was on the Breezy Bowl tour, so I would love to work with Bryson just because he's from the city, he's cold. I already worked with One Take, one of my favorite artists before we worked together.
I put Bryson, like, he's like a legend. Like, people say I got Bryson too high, but he's up there with the, he's a legend, bro. Like,
he's that guy.
He is.
Yeah, he's that guy. And I feel like if Bryson was a little more, like, if he wanted to be in the spot that he's in, he would be even bigger.
What do you mean?
Just as far as, like, he's not, you could tell, like, he's not really big on being out there. And
right.
He'd rather play the Brandon role. You know what I mean? Just behind the scenes, write the music, do the music, and get out the way. You know what I mean?
Right.
I feel like if he was more of one of those, I want to be here type of guys, then he would be on I don't know what other level he could go to, but it would be a whole different level. You know what I'm saying? Because Bryson's respected heavily in the industry.
He is?
Yeah. Look at who he's done music with.
Yeah, he has. I always thought he's underrated. I thought like people like, but if you looking back, he does have a...
His catalog is crazy.
It is.
Yeah.
So is he one of your legends? Because I got him top...
Sure.
I got him like top 8 R&B artists. Top
for sure.
6, 7.
For sure. Trap Soul. I still listen to Trap Soul to this day. Trap Soul is one of the best R&B albums to ever drop.
I agree with you there. And I made this.
And dude was like, what, 23 or something when that shit came out?
He was.
And he's been on fire ever since.
Didn't just go 15 platinum?
15 times platinum, bro. Like, that's crazy.
So, would you say this is a fair? I said that Bryson Tiller is, he's very, I listen to R&B these days and I hear him a lot. Would you say that? I say he's very influential to today's state of R&B. Would you agree with that?
For sure. For sure. Because he switches his flow up. He got a, like Bryson, it's like he sings, but he don't really sing. You know what I mean? Like, his delivery is a little different. You know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't really too many songs where you could be like, oh my God, Bryson's singing his ass off.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But everything goes hard. Like, Bryson don't sing as much as like a Chris Brown might. You know what I'm saying? Or he don't sing like a Tank might. You know what I mean? Like, right. You're not listening to Bryson to see where his chords are and what different, like you said, what different notes he's hitting. Bryson makes hits.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what we like. You know what I mean? So, yeah, Bryson's definitely an R&B legend.
I gotta check out his new album. Because he made a post on Instagram maybe about a month ago. He said, I ain't got to make another trap song. Like, I didn't do it.
He did that.
Yeah, I did it already. He said, I ain't got to, you know.
He did that. And I think that's where a lot of artists who have, like, those first albums that drop like that are, like, classic albums, I feel like that's where a lot of artists, like, mess up at. They try to recreate what they've already created.
Right.
Instead of just letting the sound evolve. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you.
So, but yeah, Bryson's definitely a R&B legend in my book already under, what, 35?
Yeah. And that was a 10? He dropped that 10 years ago? About, was it 15?
Yeah, it was actually 10 years ago on the date that we did the show. October 2nd was the 10th year anniversary of Trap Soul.
What's up, man? So what's the wildest and the funniest thing that wildest or funniest thing that ever happened to you while DJing?
Huh? Oh, man. I got some stories, bro. But just to keep it proper for the podcast.
Yeah, keep it PG. We got a Patreon. You can get wild if you want to.
Nah. just like really, I honestly, bro, would say like the craziest thing that has happened while I've DJed is like, and this is sad because this is something that's going on right now that definitely needs to stop. Like, the shootings in the club, bro.
Yeah, it got to stop.
Or, like, just, that shit almost made me want to quit. You know what I mean? It definitely changed changed the way that I look events.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not really trying to be in clubs for real like that. That's why I said I kind of like private events more, too. You know what I mean? But the shooting shit in the club got to stop, bro, because that's just not the place.
It's not, bro.
I mean, it's just too many innocent people, man. Too many people coming out to have a good time to even have to worry about anything like that, man.
So was it a particular event or was it just overall just?
I've probably been in 8 club shootings, bro.
Wow. That's wild, man. Like, I know you might have beef, but get that shit out of the time. Like, these are innocent bystanders. These are mothers, fathers.
Not to put no names on anything out there as far as locations or venues, but there's been times where we've had to damn near step over people, bro, to get out.
Ooh.
To, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It was a club we did on, matter of fact, Thanksgiving night, probably about 8 or 9 years ago. Somebody got killed in the club. I'm DJing, shots go off, everybody runs.
Uh-huh.
Except for the people who work there. So I'm literally standing over a guy praying for him, bro. You feel me?
Right.
We were all just having a good time.
Uh-huh.
2 or 3 minutes ago, feel me? And the next morning I wake up and he passed away, and it's like a holiday.
Right. Damn.
So that type of stuff, bro, like, it's just trauma for everybody involved, bro. You know what I mean? So that would be definitely, like, the wildest things that I've ever encountered, like, in the club. And it happens so often that it's just got to stop, bro.
It got. So what could be the cure to that? Like, what could, because they always, like, I've been hearing the same tune forever. Like, we need more security. We need, like, I think it's just the temperament of the coach. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's the temperament of the world. Yeah. I don't necessarily say the culture, because that's nothing's cultural about killing each other, bro. Like,
right.
we can't blame that on culture because that's not where we come from. You mm-hmm. feel me? That's what America wants us to think. You know what I mean? That's what they want us to think. You right. feel me? We don't come from that. We don't come from hurting each other, bro, and killing each other and being jealous and being envious and not even worried about not respecting ourselves enough to respect anybody else. That's not where we come from, bro. So it's not a part of the culture, bro, but it's like just stamped into motherfuckers' heads that that shit's okay.
Right. And
to me, the answer, bro, would just be love, bro. As crazy as that sounds and as hard as that seems like to get to, if everybody changed the way they think and just spread love instead of hate, that shit would stop.
Real talk.
And
calm down.
Yeah, just calm down, bro. Like, I understand it's a lot going on. People go through different stuff. Like, there's shit going on that we don't know about. So-and-so done did this to so-and-so. Now so-and-so got to do this to get his revenge.
Where does it stop?
All that type of shit. Yeah, it's like, it's really hard to stop. But, bro, if people just gave more love to each other, bro, it would be so much less of that shit. Like, we had a girl lose her life probably 15 years ago in the club because she stepped on somebody's shoe.
Right, bro.
That's you know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
She stepped on somebody's shoe when they shot her in the club. Like, what?
That's so crazy, bro.
Security, everybody needs to beef up their security, man. If you ain't a real licensed security guard, and I ain't trying to hate on nobody or block nobody from getting their money, but licensed security guards only, bro. We don't need the guys at the door who's going, I got my blick, bro. Here go 50.
Right. Real talk. A nigga in a security t-shirt, like, you know, you got to get some real deal.
Niggas who ain't emotional.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of them security niggas be so emotional. You say something to them, now they mad. You know what I mean? Now they feel some type of way, bro. But just we need more solid people running things. People who care about people.
I strongly agree.
About money.
Right. And it goes back, like, if you pay for that top notch, you know, that they getting that brand name is they, you know, they money. That brand name is they money. They not going to cut no corners for no $25, $50 or, you know what I mean, a bag of weed. I didn't see it at all, man. Like, but I ain't never been in a club shooting, man. So, but I don't really club no much these days anyway. So I think them days, I'm marked safe, as they say on Facebook. I'm marked safe because I don't think I'm.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't go out, yeah. I mean, of course, anything can happen anywhere, but it just seems like right now, like, I think it's been, what, 3 club shootings in the last 2 weeks here?
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy. You know how many people been in the clubs within the last 2 weeks?
Right.
It's like niggas is shooting blindfolded. You might as well just go outside and just start shooting. You might as well just go outside and just start, you know.
Real talk, man. Put the guns down, man. It ain't worth it. Take a deep breath. But, so what's your advice for somebody trying to break into a DJ scene while becoming DJ?
Man, get you a board, get you a laptop, and sit down on that shit. And just stay as consistent as you can, man. Understand that your path is your path. You know, put the work in.
Be consistent.
Yeah. Reach out to people who, you know, who you feel like you can trust. Or reach out to people who you look up to and see if they'll help you. If not, go figure it out yourself. DJing is literally hands-on.
Yeah. YouTube University?
You go to YouTube.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm actually I've been trying to put a curriculum together. I'm going to be doing classes here soon. So, shit, when y'all see me start posting my classes, reach out to me. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So it's just gonna, of course, it's gonna be online, right?
Online, I might do like videos where you could buy a digital video or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Then I'm gonna do like in person as well. I'm still really putting it all together, you know what I'm saying? So, but that's something that I got coming. So y'all make sure y'all reach out to me of all ages, kids, older folk, people who really wanna get into DJing, people who just wanna play around at the crib.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Let's do it. And that's amazing. And stop by. Thanks for stopping by the Big and Lazy set, Big and Lazy Pod on IG. BigandLazy.com is our website. You want to shout your socials out?
DJ Cam 502 on everything. I appreciate y'all having me, man.
Yeah, most definitely, brother.
Yeah, for sure. For mm-hmm. sure. For sure. Big and Lazy. Another confirmed multimedia production.
Subscribe now. This is the Big and Lazy Podcast. Give us something good, good to eat. Give us something good to watch.